March 25th, Isaiah 7:10-16. Jesus says, "What my son of old, out of holy fear of God, prudently did not want to do, resisting the temptation I had sent him as a trial, is what you are now requesting, not because of a temptation coming from me, but through a regurgitation of your rebellious spirit guided by the forces of evil, instigated by your enemy, whom you love more than you love me, your most high Lord, above whom there is no other. You ask for a sign. You ask for it with your impure hearts and your blasphemous lips. And you thus request it in a way that is derision of my power, negation of my existence. You badger me to show myself with a sign, because you doubt my existence. In the time of my son, the Jews also badgered him to give them a sign about his nature, for they denied in their hearts that he was the Son of God. And the only sign which made them aware of their deicide was the one that came after the death of my word. An unavoidable punishment for those who were deaf and blind to the prodigies and words of my Christ. You do not receive a sign from your God, because I do not manifest myself to those who deny me. You instead receive the multiple signs of the one you worship as slaves. He, the enemy, multiplies his signs, and you, now close to the time of worship of the apocalyptic beast, remain seduced by them, and consider that the creator of such signs is greater than I, is the only one that exists. You wonder, who is God? Who is he? And inside yourselves, to justify your acts of wickedness, you reply, God does not exist. I am who I am. I am so superior to you that no manifestation of mine would now be understood by the world, which has plunged into the most terrible darkness and foolishness. What you think is progress is your regression to the twilight of the early times, when men, having lost God and his paradise, were only slightly superior to beasts, and pushed their corruption to such a point that I decided to exterminate the race, at which I was indignant. The end will be like the beginning. The circle closes by joining the two dark stumps to each other. The new flood, that is, God's wrath, will come in another form. But it will still be wrath. Faithful to my word, I will not send the flood again. But I will let the satanic forces send the flood of the satanic acts of cruelty. You have received the light. I sent you my light, so that the parabola of humanity would be illuminated by it. I sent it, so that it could not be said, that I wanted to keep you in the twilight of expectation. If you had welcomed it, the whole other part of the circle which will join together man's way, from his beginning to his end, would have been illuminated by the light of God, and humanity would have been enwrapped in his light of salvation, which would have led you without shocks and pains into the city of eternal light. But you have rejected the light, and it shone at the summit of the circle, and then remained increasingly distant from you, that have descended by the other way, not saying to it, Lord, remain with us, for, the evening of the ages, is falling and we do not want to perish without your light. As in the course of the day, you men came to meet the light, received it, and then returned to the darkness. It, my light, my word, has remained as the sunset in his heaven, where he returned after, not death, but your rejection of him sent him back. It, my light, my word, has remained the teacher for those few who love him, and have welcomed his light into themselves. And no darkness can extinguish it, for they defend his light, their love, even at the cost of their lives. Because of this faithful love of theirs they shall have life in me, for they already possess my Emmanuel, and thus have God with them already that Emmanuel whom the Virgin, joined to me, conceived and gave birth to. The only sign given by God to the house of David, to the kingdom of Judah, to make it sure of its duration, which would have been eternal, if my people had not rejected my Emmanuel. In the prophecy of my prophet it is stated, he will have butter and honey as food until he is able to reject evil and choose good. By his wisdom, enduring in him even in his condition as man, in which his divine nature had been annihilated, under the exigency of a love so great, as to be incomprehensible for you, a love which spurred him to humiliate himself, the infinite, in the circumscribed wretchedness of mortal flesh. He was always able to distinguish between good and evil. He did not need ears, to arrive at the possession of reason and the faculty of discernment. And if, so as not to violate order, he wanted to follow the common stages of human life under that appearance of an infant's incapacity, of the semi-incapacity of a child, he possessed in concealment the treasures of his infinite wisdom. But that prophetic word means that he would feed on humility and concealment until the moment in which, when the time came, he would become the teacher of Israel, the teacher of the world. my testimony, the defender of the Father's cause, and, like a flame free from concealment, he would shine in the power of his light and his messianic nature, showing gentleness to the good and severity to the wicked, shaking, watering, and fecundating hearts, and giving to man, not to himself, for he had no need of that gift, discernment to distinguish between good and evil, removing every doubt, every nebulosity in his regard. He came to perfect the law, and make it clear for you with his teaching, and capable of being followed with his example. He came and loved good and rejected evil, so much that he agreed to die, so that good would triumph in the world, and in hearts and evil would be defeated by his divine blood. No more butter and honey for my Christ, when he arrived at manhood. But vinegar and gall. Vinegar and gall in the final hour, preceded by the metaphorical vinegar and gall of 3 years of public life continually combated by his enemies, and rendered difficult by the burdensomeness of his friends and disciples. The lips of my Christ are still afflicted by the gall and vinegar of his insolent grace. And the Father is saddened over the pain of his Son. And his affliction turns into wrath towards you, men who no longer have a spirit faithful to your God. The sacrifice which is repeated on the altars of the earth is no longer salvation for you. But as from Golgotha the blood of my Son fell on his slayers, crying out his pain to me and provoking my punishment, so now it falls upon you hypocrites and blasphemers, deniers and debauchers, haters of God and of man, your brother, and marks you with blood and fire for condemnation. The earth howls like a creature afraid of the monsters inhabiting it. The universe trembles with horror at the sight of the crimes covering the earth. I, your God, burn with divine wrath at your corruption in flesh, mind, and spirit. Neither the mercy of the Savior, nor that of the Virgin and the saints appease my wrath with their prayer. Truly, as in the times of Moses, I say, I will erase those who have sinned against me from my book, and if I were to enter into your midst just once, I would exterminate you. Truly, I say that only to my remaining children do I speak as a friend, for by their faithfulness they have found grace in my sight, and I will show them my good, and have mercy on them. And even more benign than with my servant Moses, for my most holy Son has brought you his benignity, and established the kingdom of benignity, without waiting for the day you come to heaven, I will make the face of my Christ shine in you, O my faithful children who adore me with holy respect, and with filial love. Love it, for whoever loves it loves me. Love it, for it is your salvation. The star did not appear only for Jacob, but for all those who love God with all their strength. And Christ the star, after the earthly struggles, will lead them to me in heaven, where your place is ready, O you blessed ones, for whom my word did not take on flesh in vain, and my Christ did not die to no purpose. After so long I have heard the Father's voice again. I thought it was Jesus, who since this morning had made me feel he had something to say about this passage from Isaiah, not commented on in November, when the Master commented on the prophets for me. It was, however, the Eternal Father. It has brought me blessedness, though the dictation is severe as regards mankind in general. May the Father increase my love for him more and more, so that I too may reach heaven. After having written this dictation, I began to rest. It was then 2 a.m. on the 26th. I saw the mother again, not in a vision, but as if she were alive in my room. It had been so long since I had seen her that way, for me alone, and I was so saddened by that. I fell asleep, feeling her close to me, just like a mother, and I woke up still smiling at the sweet presence, which continues here. How beautiful she is! More and more beautiful, the more one looks at her and loves her.